Good morning, my friends. How are you today? I'm so thankful to come around the Word with you this morning. If we haven't met before, my name is Renu. I'm one of the pastors here at Reside Church. And, you know, for those who may not know me or know me that well, I grew up in Malaysia. I moved here for uni and have lived here since. I'm the second born of three children. Any second born children or middle children here? Yep, I see a few hands there. Now, this is going to be a controversial statement, and I acknowledge my bias, but I think second born children or middle children are the best. Yeah? Anyone agree? Yeah, Monica agrees. Monica's like, yes, send it. Why do I say this? See, I feel like middle children, second-born children get a reputation for like being like strong-willed, difficult, stubborn, determined, you know, compared to like first-born children who are reliable, compliant, responsible, boring. But, you know, anyway, that's just my bias. I'll acknowledge there. But, you know, I find it so interesting that how we're different in our personalities and traits. How, you know, your order of birth can determine your personality. Nature, genetics, what God has given us, how He created us, can determine our personality, but also nurture, the environment we grow up in. You know, there's some suggestion that because parents are more chilled or laid back with their second-born children, that's why they end up being more independent, more stubborn, more strong-willed, more determined, more better, whatever you want to take it. But, you know, can I suggest today, this morning, that as we continue around this series of Holy Spirit and fruit of the Spirit, that our personality traits, our natural tendencies don't have to determine who we are, that we have Holy Spirit in us, that we have Holy Spirit working in and through us, refining us and making us more Christ-like. So as we continue on this week four of our Holy Spirit series, let me recap a couple of things that have been said over the last 3 weeks. First thing is that Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to be more Christ-like. It's not about how hard I try or how determined I am, but He's the promised helper. He's the one who leads us and guides us. He's the one who teaches us to be sensitive to His voice and to outwork what He's saying to us. You know, Pastor Lee spoke about the fruit of the Spirit last week. As we continue in speaking about the fruit of the Spirit this week, be reminded that, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is not just a matter of being like, I need to pursue virtue ethics or morality or doing the best I can to pursue human perfection. Though some of the practices of morality, virtue ethics are not a bad thing. Instead, as followers of Jesus, we have this ongoing process of sanctification, that God is the one who refines us to be more like Jesus. That Pastor Lee said last week that salvation is an instantaneous encounter where God's Spirit dwells in us as we call on Him and we are justified by faith through Jesus. But sanctification is a lifelong process. We're always a work in progress. We never quite arrive. Unless you're actually Jesus in human form or until we return to Jesus, we are always on this ongoing process of refining. And you know, so as we continue on the fruit of the Spirit, can I encourage you that with messages like this, sometimes there can be a tendency to do one of three things, and maybe none of these things, but sometimes we can tend to be hard on ourselves, you know, feel guilt or shame that, oh, I'm not measuring, I'm not doing well enough. Or perhaps we can be judgmental towards others. That Rainer, she needs to work on the fruit of the Spirit. She's got a lot to work on. Or thirdly, we can be like, oh, is the pastor having a go at me? Like, is she speaking to me? Can I encourage you that we position our hearts this morning to say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? That we wouldn't be hard on ourselves, we wouldn't be hard on others, or wouldn't think like, oh, is she having a go at me? But that Holy Spirit would speak to you and to me personally and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me about what I want to grow in, what I need to grow in. That we will allow Holy Spirit to convict us of our righteousness, our right standing with God because of Jesus, but also allow us to grow in what He has called us to. So would you join me as I open in prayer, declaring that over each of us. Lord God, I just thank You that You are so committed to growing us, to teaching us to be more like You, and making us more Christ-like. And Holy Spirit, we say, have Your way this morning. Speak to each of our hearts as only You can. Remind us and convict us of our right standing with You, God, because of Jesus. But teach us Your ways to be more Christ-like. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, if you have your Bible or your Bible app with you, would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 23? This is where we find the account of the fruit of the Spirit. In the New Living Translation, the heading or the title over this passage is Living by the Spirit's Power. While you're turning to it or finding it, or will come up on the screen, to give you some background information or context, Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. There have been some troublemakers, as he speaks about in verse 12, who are trying to convince the believers that certain practices or laws are what makes them righteous. Paul presents to the church, to the people in Galatia, that faith in Jesus is what leads to right standing with God, salvation that we spoke about, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit in us that brings transformation, that sanctification. So we pick up the letter, we pick up the account in Galatians 5, and we're reading from verses 16 to 23 in the New Living Translation. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but, don't you love a but in the word? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. You know, what a powerful verse in verse 22, that there's this wrestle that happens, but the Holy Spirit does this. So if you're taking notes this morning, the first point is there is a wrestle within us between our human nature and spirit. See, in Galatians 5:17 talks about the sinful nature wanting to do what's evil, but it's the opposite of what the Spirit wants us to do. And the Spirit gives us the desire to do these things. And I have this picture of almost like a wrestling match or a boxing match, that there's this tension that's held. And we read here of this tension that we can have as humans, that we have good intentions. We want to be more Christ-like. We want to do what God is directing us to do. But then our sinful nature makes it hard at times and causes us to perhaps to choose the actions we read about in verse 19 to 21. You know, like I read that and I go, oh my goodness, this is me. Like, can anyone else relate to that? Like, I'm like, you know, I want to do the right thing, but sometimes I don't. And can I tell you that you're in good company? We're in good company. See, in Romans chapter 7, verse 19 to 25, Paul speaks of this exact thing from his personal experience. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing. What a wretched man I am. Like, and it's like, we can sometimes relate to that. It's like, I want to do the right thing, but I don't always get there. But can I encourage you? The encouragement we can have in this is what he says in Romans 7, 25. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord, that we have Jesus who made a way for us to be restored to a right relationship with God, but we don't have to rely on our own strength and ability. But you know, what does this wrestle or this tension between my human nature and my spirit mean for us, mean for you and I as followers of Jesus today? Can I acknowledge first that, you know, our humanity, our human nature is not a bad thing? That you and I, each of us, as I mentioned, have unique personalities, traits, characteristics, some that are genetic, that are God-given, that whole element of nature, and some of the result of our environment, our upbringing, our life experiences, the concept of nurture. You know, has anyone here ever done a personality test? Like a Myers-Briggs test or a DISC test or what is it, the Big Five Ocean test, the DOPE test. You know, you identify like I'm a INFJ or I'm a Dove Peacock or I'm a Owl Peacock, whatever it is. They're great tools for understanding ourselves and understanding others. You know, I've done them multiple times myself, but can I encourage you that they shouldn't be something we resign ourselves to? They shouldn't be what defines who we are. That sometimes we can go, oh, well, you know, I'm an INFJ, I'm introverted. Like, you know, I'm never going to do anything thing I would have said that because that's who I am. I'm just who I am. You know, maybe you're a strong personality. Oh, well, everyone else just has to deal because I'm strong and stubborn and that's take me or leave me kind of thing. You know, personality traits are not a bad thing. In fact, some of our personality traits are an incredible strength, incredible God-given strengths that when yielded to Holy Spirit can be such a blessing to those around us, such a blessing to ourselves and those around us. But, you know, sometimes our own personality traits, our human nature, if not yielded to the Holy Spirit, if kind of left unchecked, can cause harm or hurt to other people if we operate out of our flesh or selfishness. You know, what do I mean by this? Can I give a personal example of myself? I would consider myself a reforming type A personality. Now, I say reforming because I'm still a work in progress. Type A personalities, there's type A and type B, can tend to be like ambitious, goal-driven, strong will. Anyone else feel like they're a type A? You know, they're driven, want to get things done, get in there. Yeah, a few type A's in the room. This is opposed to type B's who are more relaxed, easygoing, and flexible. I'd like to think I'm relaxed, easygoing, and flexible, but not always the case. But naturally, you know, type A personalities can be good leaders. So naturally, I can be driven, you know, lean towards pushing myself and pushing others, like, to get things done. And these can be great strengths that God can use. But in my younger years, it was also an area that I could be quite harsh towards people. Not very accepting when, you know, people weren't kind of meeting the mark. I could be harsh on myself, you know, being like, I'm not meeting the mark. I'm not meeting the expectation. I'm letting myself down. I'm letting others down. I could be a bit intolerant of differences of people who didn't think like me. I was stubborn and unteachable. You know, like I remember my mom trying to give me feedback about something and I pretty much bit her head off because I was like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm a type A personality. I know what I'm doing. You know, there was that wrestle between who I am, who I'm naturally, who God had created me to be, and not yielding it to Holy Spirit and it being something that actually caused harm or hurt. But, you know, as I've matured in my walk, in my Christian years, I say reform type A because those things that God has given me are still an incredible strength, but now they're yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now they're yielded to what He can and will do in me. It's yielded to Him and His character. I have more grace for people. I have more patience, except maybe when I'm driving. I still need to work on that one. You know, these things where I feel like I have a gap in my personality where I can't be Christ-like, that gap where I see myself and where God has called me to be, that is where Holy Spirit does His work. That is where Holy Spirit works in your life, in my life. And, you know, we all have varying personalities and natural tendencies. There can be that difference where we see who we are today and who we know God has called us to be or we want to be more Christ-like. Can I encourage, it's not something to be hard on yourself on or condemn yourself on, but that we can turn to Holy Spirit and allow Him to work in our lives. But can I also encourage you that as I look across the room today, I see a group of people who are already further on your journey today than what they were yesterday. You know, I know multiple people in this room who have pursued, hey, I want to be more Christ-like. I want to work on all these things. And maybe there's areas where you go, oh, I'm not there yet. But can I encourage you, you're further on than you were yesterday. You know, I think of Marianne and I've asked her permission to share this, but she sometimes has said of how like the upbringing that she had, some of her experiences that she had caused her to have a criticalness in her heart, but she has allowed Holy Spirit to work in her life repeatedly to give her such a grace, such a love, such a care for people, such a heart to love people well. That is the work of Holy Spirit in her. You know, I think of Gemma, who I've also asked her permission just on the spot before, but, you know, naturally would consider herself like an introverted person. But when one of the youth leaders said to her, hey, would you come and speak in the Connect group? Although maybe the natural instinct was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm an internal person. But she felt this prompting like, no, I actually want to do that. I actually want to do that. You know, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, where you might feel like I'm here and I want to be there, the gap between who you are today, the personality you might have, the upbringing, the experiences you might have had, that is where Holy Spirit works in your life. So then what is our response to this? Can I encourage you, yield who you are to Holy Spirit. Yield who we are to Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. In the New International Version, it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. See, the Greek word here for walk is peripatio, which can be translated to mean to progress, to conduct one's life with, to move with. Friends, can I encourage you, move with Holy Spirit. Walk with him. You know, walk speaks of perpetual motion or motion. It's not a stationary position that we have. Allow him to lead me, lead you, guide me, guide you, empower us. He enables us to live the way he's called us to. Not my own self-righteousness, not your own self-righteousness. You know, I know from personal experience that I often get that little prompting or that little thought, that little niggle that there's something I need to do. But the question I have to ask myself, am I listening to that prompting? Am I listening to what Holy Spirit might be calling me to, guiding me to? And then after, am I listening? Am I responding? So yes, there is a wrestle between our human nature, our natural tendencies, with what God has called us to do as his followers. But can I encourage you, as we walk with Holy Spirit, that he guides, he empowers, he is the one who produces the fruit in us. It's his character, it's who he is, and he is the one who causes us to outwork the fruit of the Spirit. So Pastor Lee spoke last week on the fruit of the Spirit. Today, let's expand on it a bit more as we look at Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. See, the Greek word for fruit here, karpos, literally can mean fruit, but also is translated to mean that which originates from or is the result of. So what it says in the New Living Translation, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is therefore the effect of, the result of Holy Spirit. It originates from Holy Spirit. We look at these attributes, love, joy, peace, so on, and they're 9 different attributes, but they work together. Bible scholars often consider the fruit as one entity. It represents who God is, his character, but they're attributes that operate concurrently. Because, you know, sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming. It's like, I can't be loving and kind and patient and gentle and have self-control all at the same time. Or perhaps we can go like, you know, my personality is gentle. I'm going all right with that. But self-control, I need to work on that a bit more. See, again, the fruit of the Spirit, there are 9 different attributes, but they work concurrently. And it is the effect of Holy Spirit working in us. It is his character in us. You know, does that mean there's no onus on us to do anything? It's like, Holy Spirit, it's all up to you. You do what you need to do. No, our role is responding to his prompting, asking him to help produce the fruit in us. You know, Paul mentions all these 9 attributes in this particular letter to the church in Galatia. He mentions all 9. But this is not the only time he speaks of it. It's not like a one-off deal. He speaks of them across his other letters. In 1 Corinthians 13, the famous passage about love. In Ephesians 4, the passage around instructions for Christian living. In Colossians 2, in Titus 2 and 3. Now, I'm not going to go through all these passages of scriptures, but I wanted to encourage you around that if it's mentioned multiple times to us as the church throughout scripture, perhaps it's important. Perhaps it's something that we need to take note of. That the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit from a heart that's yielded to him produces the fruit. And the fruit starts with Holy Spirit, but he outworks it in our lives. So can I encourage you that let's look at specifically at these 9 attributes. All 9 of the fruit that we see here. See, Bible scholars tend to divide them into categories. The first 3, love, joy, and peace, are often called the ones that are heart attitudes, or they have to do with our internal disposition. They are tied to our relationship with God. They stem from knowing Jesus personally. You know, Jesus spoke to his disciples of love, joy, and peace before he left the earth. We read it multiple times in John. You know, love, agape, is the Greek word, the highest form of love that emulates how God loves us. In John 15, 12, the same word is used. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Joy, kara. It is a gladness that is not circumstantial, but remains in spite of situations. The same word in John 15, 11. I have told you these things so that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Peace, the Greek word irene, rest, serenity, tranquility of soul, irrespective of circumstance. The same scripture is used in John 14:27 and John 16:33. In John 14:27, Jesus says to his disciples, "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." You know, these heart attitudes, these attributes of the fruit, they're the base. As Holy Spirit develops love, joy, and peace in us, our actions can then follow. Our actions should be affected. Because as we look at the next six fruit, they're often referred to as attributes or character attributes or external actions. Some Bible scholars divide it further to say that patience, kindness, and goodness are how we act or interact with each other, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are how we manage ourselves or how we behave ourselves. You know, patience, makrothromia is the Greek word, a forbearance, a constancy, slowness in avenging wrongs, slowness to anger, to be full of grace. In Ephesians 4:2, Paul uses the same word, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. And you'll see here how he refers to being humble, gentle. He speaks of love, that again, they're separate attributes, but they work together concurrently as the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, sorry if I say some of these Greek words wrong, Christotes, a moral excellence, an integrity of heart, a goodness of heart. In Colossians 3:12, the same word is used. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, what a revolution it would be if we could choose kindness in every situation. You know, we live in a culture, like a put-down kind of culture. You know, even just for fun, you might just put people down just because it's funny and fun. But what a revolution it would be if we treated people with kindness. If we treated everyone we met with kindness, with that in that moral integrity, goodness of heart. What an honor to the one we serve. You know, goodness, an upright living, integrity, uprightness of heart, a kindness that is activated, generosity. What a testimony to our world. Ephesians 5:9 says this, "For this light within you produces what is good and right and true." You know, it's interesting to know that there's no word in the secular Greek language for goodness. There's no word that can describe it in like secular Greek language. Because what is suggested is that the source of it is the light. The source of it is God. Therefore, it's only a word that can be described in biblical context. So patience, kindness, goodness, how we act with each other. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, how we manage ourselves. You know, faithfulness comes from the Greek word of faith that's linked to our trust God. Our trust in God, that's our start. But it's modeled off our faith in God, who is trustworthy. You know, growing in our own trustworthiness, doing what we say we're going to do, being able to be relied upon. Gentleness, a meekness, a humility of being teachable, not prideful. You know, it's not being a doormat. I'm going to let everyone walk over me and treat me badly. But such a humility, an ability to be teachable. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1 says, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, Jesus was our model. He was the Savior of the world, but he chose humility. You know, in Philippians 2, it talks about God who did not, Jesus did not consider himself equal, although he was God, but he humbled himself to the cross. That's strength in humility. It's not about weakness or not being able to do things, but that humility and strength. Self-control, temperance, the virtue of one who masters desires and passions. You know, we look at these nine attributes, these one fruit of the Spirit, the character of God, God who exemplified it for us. And we read in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, by his divine power, not in our own strength, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. But this next part, we have received all of this by coming to know him. friend, by coming to know him, you have access to all of this. You have the ability to outwork all this. It's not particularly good people or people who have a gentle personality or are humble by nature, but it's through access of knowing Jesus that we can outwork them. You know, as we look to this, we see these multiple attributes mentioned, that the fruit of the Spirit is something that we should want to grow in, that we should desire to grow in, but it doesn't rely on you alone. That the fruit matters, my friend. The fruit matters. The fruit matters for you today, but for those around you. You know, why does the fruit matter? And I think of it in terms of like the plants we have at home. We have a raspberry bush in our house, and last summer it produced some fruit. Anyone else have a raspberry bush? I know a couple of people. I think Vanessa and Fiona have got one as well. And you know it's a raspberry bush when you see the fruit. Now, at the moment, I can't see the fruit, so I know it's a raspberry bush because it's mine. And you know, if you were a plant expert, you might know it's a raspberry bush. If you have a raspberry bush, you might know it's a raspberry bush. But if you didn't see it, if you didn't know plants, how do you know it's a raspberry bush? That was a very long-winded way of explaining it. How do you know it's a raspberry bush? Yeah, by the raspberries, when you see the fruit. When you see the fruit, then you know it's a raspberry bush, unless you're a plant expert. You know, how will people know we're followers of Jesus? By our fruit, not by our raspberries. By our fruit. You know, how will people know who we are? By our fruit, by the outworkings of who God is, the character of Jesus in us, by the fruit. See, the same word for fruit here in Galatians 5 is used in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 18, when Jesus talks about fruit to his followers. John 15:8 says this, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit." That same word, kapos, showing yourself to be my disciples. This is to his glory, that as we bear fruit, we show we are his disciples. Can I encourage you? Fruit matters. Why? Because fruit matters because it points to the one we follow. It glorifies him. Fruit matters. Fruit matters for your family. Fruit matters for your friends. Fruit matters for your marriage. The fruit matters for your children, for your workplace, for your gym, for your sports club, for your suburb. Fruit matters for us as a church. You know, Pastor Lee mentioned last week, God throws us all together and says, work as my body. The fruit matters. It's no coincidence that Paul writes about it time and time again in the letters to the church. He knew we need the fruit. God knows we need the fruit in our lives. Fruit matters for this city. For this city to come to know of the love and truth of Jesus Christ. You know, sharing the gospel is so powerful. But as you share the gospel and as people see the fruit in your life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, what a testimony not just of what God has done in your life, but who God is. Because it's his characteristics after all. It's not in my own strength. It's his outworking in me. What a testimony of who our God is and what he can do in us. The fruit matters because it points to the one we follow. It glorifies him. You know, what then is our call to action? What then is God calling us to, as I invite the team to join me? In Galatians 5:24, it says this, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there." Friends, if you're here this morning and you have made Jesus Lord of your life, you belong to Christ Jesus. He took your sin and sinful nature to the cross, so you no longer are bound by it. You know, friend, if you're here this morning and you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, you're not walking in relationship with him, can I encourage you, there is a pathway for you to do so, and I would love to give you the opportunity to do so at the end of this message. But you know, Jesus showed us the ultimate example, those who belong to Christ Jesus. So let Jesus be our example. Let Jesus be our guide. As I look across the gospel, I see of how Jesus showed love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When he healed, he said, "Go in peace, you have been healed. Love as I have loved you." That'll be a testimony that you are my disciples. What we read in 2 Corinthians 10:1, the meekness and gentleness and the humility of Christ. Let Jesus be our example. In John 15:5, it says this, "Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches." This is Jesus speaking. "Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." Jesus is the source of the fruit. Holy Spirit working in us is the source of the fruit. Remain in him. Abide in him. Stay close to him. Galatians 5:25 says this, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life." Comes back the same thing in verse 16, "Walk by the Spirit, follow the Spirit's leading." You know, sometimes we might think, oh, I just need to be better. I just need to work better or be better at this. But you know, it's not about me being better or you being better. It's looking to Jesus as our example. Looking to who He has called you to be. Asking Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, to teach, and then listening to that prompting and following it. You know, it's not a one-off thing. It's not a stationary moment, that walking by the Holy Spirit. It's a perpetual motion, a movement of walking with Him. When you're in the supermarket and you're in a rush and the person is going very slowly with your transaction, can you show the fruit of the Spirit? Because it matters. It matters because you're shining His light. When you're facing with the screaming child in the car on your way to school, can you show the fruit of the Spirit? Because it shows Jesus to them. When you are faced with someone who is difficult, that you work with, that you don't always get along with, can I show the fruit of the Spirit and show love and grace and kindness and joy to them? Because it matters. You know, yes, the wrestle between who we sometimes want to be, who we are today, and who God has called us to be is real. That wrestle is real. But Holy Spirit is with us. God is more powerful than any natural personality tendency I have. But can I yield to Him and can I say, Holy Spirit, give me your love, give me your joy, give me your peace in areas where I might feel I can't do this. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. I yield to you. Take the things that are not of you. Take the things that are not of you and refine me and bring out your fruit. Bring out your fruit in me. And that is our call. That is our call. But you know, before I go any further, if you are here this morning and you want God to refine you, but you say, you know, I'm not walking in relationship with Him. How can I walk with Him? I don't know Him personally. Maybe you never have, or maybe you once did, but you've walked away. You know, perhaps you've tried to do the right thing and be better in your own strength. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." His grace is for you, my friend. And if you haven't made a decision to walk in relationship with Him, or maybe you once did and you've walked away, I would love to give you the opportunity to do so through a prayer of faith. Romans 10:9 says this, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." And you know, in a moment, I'm going to lead the church in a prayer that they'll repeat after me. And can I invite everyone to close their eyes? And if that's you, and you want to walk in relationship with God, can I invite you to repeat this prayer after me along with the church? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross, you were buried, and rose again on the third day for my forgiveness, and so I could be restored to relationship with you. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I turn from them and I turn to you. I declare with my mouth, Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I choose to follow you. Teach me your ways. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.